All right. Thanks for listening to 3 to 5 Guys, Boxes, and Fries. It's been so long. I almost forgot the name of the podcast just now. It's just like, it's been like several weeks, it seems. We had the holidays and then just being busy coming back to the office. But there's three of us here today. We got me, Phil, we got Dallin, and we got Lovell. So thanks for joining, guys.
Yeah.
Couple things. I always like to kind of talk about something I've been listening to lately, but this time it's a movie, not a podcast. I went to go see the movie 1917 last night. Have you guys heard of this movie?
I haven't.
It is amazing. It's basically based on like a 24-hour period-ish in World War I back in 1917. And it's basically shot like as – they make it look like it's one continuous shot for the whole movie, essentially. So you're following this guy through this whole experience. You feel like you're in it, and it's so real. It doesn't like glorify battle. It actually shows you like how kind of raw it can be, but it, like, you really appreciate the bravery of these soldiers and like what they put themselves, what they ran into. You know what I mean? It's an incredible movie. It like blew my mind. It was crazy good. So you guys should check it out. It's in the theaters right now. And it was, I honestly say that seeing it in the theater, this is one of the movies, like, I feel like if I watched it at home on my TV, it wouldn't have been the same experience, you know? It like was all about that theater experience, just being, I can't remember being so absorbed into a movie in such a long time. So anyways, check it out. It's cool. So, and I actually met up with so as you guys know, I used to record this podcast at a different place I worked, and I met up with those guys for lunch last week, and we were talking about it, and they were like, thought I was cheating on them, you know, with you guys. So, but it was good seeing them, and I even talked to a couple of them, like maybe joining sometime, you know, because hey, anybody can join, but I need to send them an invite, like that link to actually join. But excuse me, and I got, you know, you get those notifications on your watch or phone if there's like just some weird headline. There's a headline I just saw that said the FDA warns of the increased risk of cancer if you take like a specific weight loss drug. But the headline didn't say which one. I'm like, so you're trying to make me click on your link to save my life. And so out of spite, I'm just going to start taking all the weight loss drugs and have no idea which one they're talking about because I'm not going to click on their link. All right, so
that's the way to do it.
Yes, as you know, we're in the new year. We're halfway through the first month as of today, but you know, I'm thinking about like New Year's resolutions and improvement and making goals, some things I'm trying to do. I just kind of think about like what motivates us to improve, and that's kind of the topic today, is like what drives us, what drives you, or what are some things that might drive other people. What are motivating factors? And I had some examples. So for instance, a couple of weeks, like about a week or so before New Year's, I decided to start going to the gym with my neighbor. So we go like 5 mornings a week. And I actually had some time off around Christmas from work. So I wasn't working, so I could go a little later than I would normally go. And the later you go to the gym, the more busy it is, right? And then as soon as the Monday after New Year's comes, I end up going like 2 hours earlier than I was going before. And it was packed, like twice as packed as ever, like the week before, even like at like 2 hours later. And I'm just like, so obviously this is all the New Year's resolution people, right? I just thought that was interesting. And so for me, making that goal to go to the gym was kind of like for self-improvement, right? That was my motivating factor for that, right? I want to improve myself. Another thing, my wife and I decided, my car, we're going to pay off my car in the month of January, which means in the month of January, I don't want to brag, but I'm going to brag. It's the 15th, and I've paid $2,800 on my car to pay it off yesterday. I did multiple payments as any money came available. I put it towards it, but as a total in the month of January, $2,800 paid off yesterday. For me, that was a motivation, was the reward. We decided once we pay off the car, we're going to go get a couple's massage. So
where are we going?
That was a reward motivation, right? Yeah, all of us, we're all going to get it. I know we said it's a couple massage, but a couple guys are coming with us. So, and then another thing. this week, another coworker, Eric, who's been on this podcast in the past, he sends me a random thing like through like the Apple Watch, like a challenge for 7 days, you know, like fit and move challenge. Like you can, whoever gets the most points wins. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to move as much as possible. So on like Monday, I not only went to the gym in the morning, but I get home and I see, oh, I can get as much as 600 points. So I ended up running in circles in my living room to get that last 100 points, you know? and I get this message on my Apple Watch, like, this is the first time you've ever doubled your move goal for the day. And I'm like, okay, that was a motivation to make me do something I had never done before, right? Apparently, since I had this watch for like 2.5 years, you know? So that was like a competition, right? That was my motivation there, right? So we're talking, and there's also things like financial reward, like things you might do so you can make more money. Anyways, what are the things that drive you guys? Like, what are some factors you think behind your improvement?
Immediately, I thought something relevant right now for me is the scale. So like talking about fitness goals and exercise goals, I jumped on the scale, what was it, just after Christmas, and I was at the peak of, I've never been weighed this much in my whole life. And so like it like kind of sent little fear trails into me, right? Yeah. Meaning like, man, if I let this, you know, this go on, it's just going to get worse and it's going to get harder to change. And so like now I'm like, no, I cannot. I'm just putting the foot down. I cannot let my belt, you know, my waistline get any larger. I'm going to recommit, you know, this is going to happen. I'm going to do it. And, you know, for the short term, I think I can do it for the next 2 months pretty good. But after that, you know, it's going to get, you know, it's always hard. But
oh, so, yeah, dude.
So definitely, I think like we're motivated, at least for me, I constantly am trying to figure out a better way to motivate myself. But usually, like some of these, I don't know if I call it superficial, but it's like, it's fear driven for me. It's like you talked about, it's reward driven. It's fear driven. It's instead of being like, hey, I'm gonna change and I'm gonna improve because I know it'll make my wife's life better, or I know I'm gonna change because it'll help my overall health. I'll be a happier husband and a father. You know, I would like to strive for that kind of a motive, but I feel like that's not as easy. I mean, it's easy for me to just respond to fear or reward systems because that's how I naturally like am programmed, I feel like.
When you say fear, like you're afraid of like the ramifications of being unhealthy, like heart disease or that kind of thing, you mean? Or
yeah, let me speak to that. Yeah, so my parents growing up were constantly doing diets and like a lot of America, I feel like, right? Just constantly doing diets, trying to lose weight, especially my mom, like at a point she just really was trying to lose a lot of weight. And so I feel like most of my childhood was like, we were thinking about, you know, dieting and eating right and eating, you know, the right kinds of foods and not eating all the junk food. And so I became very conscientious of that like quickly. And so I guess what I mean to say is that, what was I going to say there? I guess that affected that. There's a fear. There it is. There's a fear in me that doesn't want to repeat what my parents did. And never get into that situation where I have to like lose a ton of weight, you know?
Oh, that actually went a different way than I thought you were going to go with it. I thought you were saying that like you're feeling the same like fear that they were feeling, but you're saying you don't want to live your life like that.
It's like wanting to prevent it.
That's a more positive response, in my opinion, than what I thought you were going to say. So that's cool.
You see the pain that they go through, you know, and especially my mom. I feel I saw like front hand how hard that was and how hard it is still. And how hard it's been on her knees and how she's had knee surgeries and things like that. And so it's like, honestly, it's a fear in me. Like it puts the fear of God in me essentially, right? Where it's like, no, I'm going to change. I'm not going to allow my life. I'm not going to allow those, you know, that to happen to me to where I'm feeling these pains later on. I need to make the change now. So it's more.
Yeah.
So what motivates me?
Yeah, what about you, Lovell?
State the question one more time so I get it right.
Yeah, like I guess what drives you to improve? Because like ultimately we're talking about making improvements in our life, but like what drives us to do that? You know, is it just for like the sake of improvement or is it for some reward?
Some
you know,
improvements things, you know? I do like with my career, just becoming a better software developer. Honestly, like nothing has, I've never felt like this fear like, oh, I need to learn the latest and greatest or things like that. I've always just been what's the word? Like, inspired or excited. I wanted to, I come up with an idea to build that drawing tool I've told you guys about. It just sounds something cool to me, and I get really excited about it, and I work on it, and I see it starting to come to like fruition, and it forces me to learn new things because I'm excited about this thing. So I think what drives me is if it's something that I'm passionate about, it just happens to make me better at the same time. But I'm crazy motivated to do those things.
Is it the feeling you get, like the excitement, the joy it brings you when you're doing it, like that motivates you to go stay up later, or like rather than watch TV,
work on the coding project? I think it's just this love of, hey, I got an idea, and holy cow, I made it a reality. Like you get a rush of accomplishment whenever you are able to solve problems, especially if it's something that I'm enjoying. That's what I like. And it just so happens to be that solving those kind of problems coincides with my career too. And so that helps me improve in my career, which helps me improve with taking care of my family and things like that. So yay for that.
So it's nice when like these things kind of come together where you find joy in it, but it also improves your life in other ways too, right? So that's a motivating thing when you see like an overall improvement, right? And I guess multiple facets of your life. How do you guys feel about like New Year's resolutions?
No,
do you guys
I
make them?
I purposely do not. I do not believe in year-long goals. You're just setting yourself up for not great. I believe in month goals or weekly goals. I think those are way more realistic and are way easier to obtain. So that's my thought.
Okay. I like that answer. What about you, Dallin? How do you feel about them?
We didn't make them this year. We intended to, but you know, we just kind of partied, I think. And then we let the new year come, and then we're like, yeah, we'll get to the goal setting. And so like what's today?
Like the 15th.
The 15th. And I haven't my wife and I have discussed goals, and like, you know, we've talked about them out loud. Haven't really written them down yet. We kind of have a direction. So I'm guessing by end of January, we'll have some goals decided on. Yeah, exactly. That's the hardest part, right? But so like one of mine is like, man, I played the piano as a kid for a couple years, and it's like, man, I really wish I would have kept with that. I feel like I want to do that more. And so it's more of a long-term goal. It's like, I'm not going to, you know, that's going to take a long time to really improve, especially with kids, you know, it's not a ton of extra time. But this year I want to become a better piano player. I want to learn I was thinking like learning a bunch of hymns or something, or, you know, I haven't decided on what it is, but yeah, I don't have a problem as long as I don't mind setting year long goals or even longer goals, as long as I'm motivated and committed to finish them. But there's also been plenty of times, like, I feel like unlike most people, you set a goal and then it's maybe unrealistic. It's not a smart goal. And you end up not doing it at all. And you forget about it because you don't really care that much about it, or it's, you know, you just have other things that distract you that you prioritize. But.
And I like that you bring that up, because actually like my wife and personally, I'm not like a fan of New Year's resolutions. I'm not unique in this response, because I've heard other people say this recently where it's like, you shouldn't really need a reason to wait to improve. You should just, when you recognize an opportunity in your life to make a goal and improve, you should just do it. And I say, hey, next month is New Year's, I'll wait till then. Or, you know, or if you just kind of make this big thing out of it rather than always improving, you know what I mean? It's like, but we did make some goals recently, but not necessarily because of the New Year, but maybe subconsciously, I don't know. But something that as developers, we do like a type of, workflow called Scrum, where like you meet on teams and you have like a daily meeting every day where you kind of report what you did the day before, any problems you're having, what you're going to do today, right? We all do that. here, at least, and many developers do this, right? But my wife and I made these goals for the year, like financial goals, and my wife had the idea to have that kind of a meeting every week, like to kind of talk about where we're at. It's basically, what problems are we having? What things did we do that? What can we celebrate? What is our goal? Like, you know, and like, and we go over these every week, and it's made such a huge difference. At first, I was like, kind of like, oh, I guess I'll do this meeting, but it's made the biggest difference because we isolate, like, oh yeah, we got that money coming in this week. We know we're gonna put that over here. Oh, I almost forgot. We got to pay for that reunion this summer. Let's put aside that much for that, you know. And since we're organized and we're talking about it, keeping it on our minds, it's not just this idea like, hey, in a year from now, we'd want to be here. It's because I agree with Lovell. Just making a goal for the year isn't enough, right? It's about the continual process, I guess. So I'm finding this to be super useful. And the last month or two we've been doing this, we've made huge advances in these goals that I guarantee we wouldn't have otherwise. So it's been really cool.
I love that you're applying it in the homes, like in your family. My wife and I actually talked about doing the same thing a couple of years ago, but we just never have done it yet, you know, and we just have put it off. And you see like how beneficial it is at work. You see how we continuously improve as a team, you know, mm-hmm. because we hold each other, mm-hmm. We plan, you know, we're reporting, you know, each day, and we're collectively doing a retro at the end of the week or 2 weeks, right? And we're really like trying to get better, and then we're setting new goals for the, you know, the upcoming weeks. And that's what you do need to change. But it's just like, for me, it's like I got to follow your example here, because it's like we just need to start it. We need to do it. I've wanted to do it. I think it'd be so powerful with like a, you know, just starting your kids early in this, yeah. kind of where you even get your kids involved at a very, maybe more simple level, right? Where you kind of reflect on, you know, how, you know, we set some goals, you know, they set personal goals, maybe we have family goals. And then, you know, you kind of meet up and say, how did we do? And you can talk very honestly and transparently about it. And it's just normal. I'd love if my kids grew up that way.
And it wouldn't have to be like exclusive to financial stuff, right? It could be anything. Yeah. Like as a family, we want to accomplish this thing. You know, we want to, I can't think of an example. You know, it's something we want to accomplish as a family.
Or like, we want to go on this vacation. Like,
Or like we want to stop fighting so much even, you know? Like, what about, you know, anything, any goal, and you kind of track the progress. We're not to the point that we're doing like a daily, I mean, we have a lot of conversations. It's not formalized, like a daily stand up, if you will, but we kind of have more of like the retrospective and the planning phase down weekly, which is, it's really cool. So
that's awesome.
Like all the kudos to my wife, because to be honest, I had to kind of, I was skeptical and kind of like going into it, like I didn't let her know this, but I kind of had a bad attitude in my mind, like this is kind of whatever. But then I'm like, I'm like, whoa, that was really helpful.
Too. You know, so. Something that's cool, there's some youth programs going on now. Both you guys are actually, you guys might not be aware of them, but anyways, there's these youth programs that used to be very guided. Like they gave a book and says, you need to follow these things and you need to accomplish this, this, and this. And that was good, but now they've done away with that. And their new program is, hey, you need to help your youth to set goals and meet with them on a regular basis and help them meet their goals. And they're encouraging that to be done at least once a week. And so it's neat that they have taken this shift, like we're talking here, where of shifting to, we set goals and how do we keep a commitment to our goals that we're setting. Anyways, I think that's really cool how that big mental shift that's happening.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's way more effective. Especially if you come up with your own things that you're interested in improving yourself, you're more likely to like see it through mm-hmm. than being told like, hey, improve this about yourself. You're less like, you might be open-minded, but you're less likely to run with it, you know? So, awesome. Well, thanks you guys for, the conversation. And if anyone's listening, if anyone out there ever hears this, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Boxes and Fries. That's at Boxes and Fries. Or you can email us boxesandfries@gmail.com if you have any suggestions for topics. We'd love to hear them because I think it'd be really cool to like do a topic someone suggested. That'd be, I'd feel like a celebrity at that point. Anyways, thanks for listening. And until next time, bye-bye.